We celebrate this feast of the elevation of the cross, the exaltation of the cross, in honor of two events. The first of these is the one that's depicted on the icon of the feast, in which the Empress Helen, on a visit to the Holy Land, learned that the Holy Cross was buried underneath a pagan temple, which was dedicated to the goddess Venus and built on top of Golgotha, this place where Christ was crucified. And so in her piety, she demanded that this pagan temple be torn down and that the cross be excavated. But to her and many others' surprise, they found not one cross, but three crosses, supposedly Christ's cross and the crosses of those crucified on his left and his right. But how do they know which one was the cross of Christ? She asked the Patriarch of Jerusalem, Macarius, who advised her that the true cross of Christ would be the one that brought life and healing. And so a funeral procession was passing by, and so they stopped it, and they took the dead man and laid him on one cross. Nothing. And so they laid him on another. Nothing. And they laid him on the third cross. And this man who was being brought to be buried was restored to life by the life-giving cross of Christ. Glory to God. So this is one event that we celebrate. And we have in the icon Patriarch Macarius, Saint Macarius, elevating the cross while the Empress Helena and the Emperor were standing by. The other event that we remember is the restoration of the cross to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem had been conquered by the Persians, and the cross was carried off to Persia as kind of this treasure, this loot. And so in 628, the Greek emperor Heraclius defeated the Persians and brought back the cross with this great ceremony. And we hear in the Synaxarion that was read this earlier in Orthros that the emperor, upon processing with the cross of Christ back into Jerusalem in all this pomp and ceremony, was prevented at a certain point from going any further. And the patriarch received a vision from an angel and advised the emperor to remove his robe and his shoes and finish the procession with the cross in the extreme humility that Christ carried his cross with. And so he did so and was allowed to finish and restored the cross to the Church of the Resurrection, which had been erected in place of that pagan temple on Golgotha. Forgive me, I'm going to depart from my prepared homily. We have several beautiful hymns of the church regarding the cross. And many of them, especially in the Troparion of the Cross and the Kontakion, reference something very curious. There's this element of nationality, right? O Lord, save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Right? Preserve thine estate. It talks about a commonwealth, right? And we have this idea in our prayers of the race of Christians. Okay. What's this all about? Why is this so prevalent, especially connected to the Feast of the Cross? Well, it's because the cross is our flag. It is our national emblem as Christians. In the ancient civilizations, certainly at the time of Christ, your nationality was not necessarily determined by where and to whom you were born. Certainly that played a large role, because where you were born is the culture that you grew up in. But your national identity was signified by those social rituals that you participated in, the way that you lived your life. And this is what these hymns are referring to, is the race of Christians, our Lord's people, his commonwealth, his estate, whatever translation you use, is identified by our ritual participation in him. And not just in religious rituals, but our daily rituals, how we live our life and interact with each other. Elder Ephraim of Arizona said that moments of pain and sacrifice, little crucifixions, are actually a time of blessings. That behind every cross, there follows a resurrection. So when we make the sign of the cross over ourselves, when we accept with humility correction from a neighbor or even insults, when we crucify our ego, when we faithfully endure that which God gives to us, even those hardships, as Christ's mother and the beloved disciple John faithfully stood with Christ at the foot of the cross while all else seemed hopeless. We identify ourselves with this holy nation. And so, brothers and sisters, I encourage you in all things, look to Christ. Hold every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, as St. Paul encouraged the Corinthians. Have him as your reference point, not the trends and the rulers and the opinions of this world. And as we heard on Sunday, in that gospel, Christ came not to condemn the world, but that through him it might be saved. And in doing this, we participate in the salvation of the world, first by saving ourselves, by sanctifying ourselves. And in doing so, we expand, we spread, we multiply Christ's paradise from our heart out into the world that surrounds us. And in doing so, we become much more like our crucified and risen Lord, growing in selfless love and humility and in his peace. To his glory, amen.